Thank you for that long notice. 6:30 called me and asked me to preach tonight. But I'm so glad to be in God's house. And I'm glad for the way of holiness. There is no other way to go to heaven. I'm not just talking about the name over the door, because this church here has got a name. And a lot of churches have a name that they live. The church in Sardis in the Bible, they had a name that they lived, but they were dead. And oh, there's so many dead churches, like the brother testifying about how his son got into the service. A lot of people don't even know what that is. When people get in and worship God and give God glory and honor. But I'm telling you, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience to have the glory of God come down upon you. I haven't been doing real well, as most of you know. As a matter of fact, I hadn't preached in about 3 or 4 months until Sunday. And Sunday, my son took a chance on me and let me preach at his church. And then Sunday night, I had 2 sinners in the altar. One of them was an alcoholic. The other one was an Indian man. He told me he was a Creek Indian. And he prayed so good and wept and cried. I prayed that he got a hold of what he needed. But you know, we're not seeing very many people wetting the altars with tears. We're seeing some emotion. We're seeing people get excited over things that really there's nothing there to get excited about. But oh, when the Spirit of the Lord moves. And our pastor here, Brother Steve Moore, has been such a help to me since I've been sick. I was sick here for several months and wasn't able to hardly get to church, but I'd try to come on. And he's been such a help and call me about every day and pray for me. And then he'd preach so good that it feed my soul. And I love the Word of God, don't you? I don't care about stories that doesn't glorify God. I like something that God is in. I'm not going to preach very long tonight, so everybody say amen. Hallelujah. But if you will turn with me into the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 22. I believe the brother said his dad was about 78. I am 78, knocking on 79's door. And I've been preaching a long, long time. And I thank God for every soul that He's helped me win here in the States and also in foreign countries. And talked to a man this morning in the country of Switzerland where I've been preaching. And there's souls still going on there that was won to the Lord while Sister Rich and I were there. And so it's a wonderful thing to know that this gospel has power. I said, this gospel has power to save. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek." One day the gospel touched my heart, and I may tell about a little bit about that as I preach here tonight, and I won't hold you very long. But if you'll turn with me into 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. Second Kings chapter 22. And I want to read one verse of Scripture. 2 Kings chapter 22. And I want to thank you for the offering. And not only tonight, but this church has helped me at different times. Different individuals have helped me with offerings when I was off. And I really appreciate that. Of course, my last name is Rich, you know. So I don't seem to pay the bills. But anyhow, I do appreciate the offerings. If you have your Bibles, turn in 1 Kings chapter 22. I'll read one verse of Scripture found in verse 48. Verse 48 of the 22nd chapter of 1 Kings. And Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold. But they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber. And I want to talk to you for just a little while on ships that that never sailed. All of us have dreams of the future, but only those that persevere see these dreams fulfilled. If God has called you and given you a dream of you, of your future in His service, don't you let no one steal that dream from you. If God has given you a vision, as the writer said in the book of Habakkuk, he said the vision is for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry long, wait for it. Sometimes we get calls to do things for God, but it's not God's time. But when God says it's time to go, you better go. In my text tonight, King Jehoshaphat knew that there was rich gold in Ophir. As a matter of fact, the gold there had the reputation of being the purest, richest gold in the known world at that time. All through the Old Testament, you can find some references made to the gold in Ophir. Oh yes, the gold was worn by royalty according to Psalms 45 and 9, and many kings desired this gold. But now King Jehoshaphat, he must have had a vision or a dream, for the Bible said that he made him some ships to go to Ophir to get this rich gold. But they went not. How many has come through this church and other churches that we thought was going to really do something for God? When I was looking at these scriptures today, I thought about a couple here. I believe they prayed first at your home, and then they came here, and it looked like God was really going to use them. And if you'll remember, some of you remember how the Holy Ghost came down one night, and this man felt the power of the Holy Ghost. And I thought, boy, these people are going to be a blessing to the church. They're going to do something for God. But like Jehoshaphat's ships, they never sailed. You see, you've got to cut loose from the shoreline. Oh, yes. We've got to know that God wants us to do something for Him. And the reason Jehoshaphat's ships never did go for this gold, it was a lot of labor, a lot of expense to make those ships. But finally the ships were ready to sail. But the Bible says they went not. They were broken in Ezion-Geber. Where was Ezion-Geber? It was the very place where the ships were built. Right there. They stayed there too long until a storm or something came by, and this king hooked up with an ungodly man, another king, and God broke their ships right there. Hear me tonight. We have to launch out. We've got to do something more for the Lord. I think about our own church here, and we've got several young preachers. And I'm not telling you to go when God hasn't sent you yet. There may be a time when God speaks to you and tells you it's time to go out. I'm not telling any of our young preachers it's time for you to go. But I'm going to tell you something. When God saves you and gives you a purpose to win souls, that's something you've got to really take to heart. And all of us must be into soul winning. Every one of us. Oh yes, evidently a storm came and destroyed that ship right there, those ships right there in the harbor. And while they remained in the place where they were built, right there was where they were broken. Many times I've read where when a storm's coming, a captain will take his ship and loose it from the harbor and go way out in the deep and get out in deep water and ride out the storm. I think you'll have to agree with me that most of us is too shallow. It's time that we launched out into the deep. Oh yes, each of the children of God, all of His children, have special talents. And each one will give an account of that special talent to God. Oh, I thank God for the way that He called me many years ago. I was a businessman in the state of California. I had everything going my way, it looked like. Financially, I had one of the highest homes in Grover City, California, sitting up on a hill. I had men working for me. I had a wonderful, wonderful position there with lots of work and lots of men that were willing to do that work. And if I paid them, of course. And then everything was going good. And one night, I was praying at the altar, and I got a call that was higher than any other calling, Brother Moore, that I ever had. And everything I had lost its value. My business, my home, everything that I had. Now, I'm not telling everybody that they have to leave their home and do like I did. But man, I went out there and drove up a for sale sign in front of my house, and I launched out to preach the gospel. And I never have looked back over 50 years of preaching the word of God. And the Lord's helped me win many, many souls. I give God praise for that. Oh yes. And those that's come to this church, oh yes, you've got a great opportunity, but you can't just sit forever. And I think about the times we could go out. Just this week, last week rather, we had a knock on our door, and Sister Rich went to the door, and some people from the Mormon church, and two young girls out working for their church and testifying for a false church. And then I think about our people, and what are they doing? Yeah, we're quick to criticize them, but what are we doing? What are we doing to get people here and fill up these empty pews? How many doors have we knocked on? And one of them, Shirley said something about praying with them, and they didn't seem to be so interested in that, so they soon left. But here's what I'm telling you. We need somebody like Elisha who will follow Elijah and demand a double portion. But he had a criteria that he had to meet in order to get that double portion. And every one of us, we want the power of God. We want the blessings like our brother was talking about a while ago. We want the victory and glory that comes down. But we've got to meet the criteria. Here this man, Elisha, all he did was pour water on Elijah's hands. Seemed like such a small task. Oh, such a small thing. But he was waiting for something. And whenever Elijah was caught away, the Bible said that coming out of the heavens was Elijah's mantle. Do you know what Elisha did? He went back and picked up that mantle. Some were searching for Elijah after that, but he was not searching for Elijah. Elisha wasn't. He was searching for the Lord God of Elijah. And he picked up that mantle and walked back down to that river and smote the water and cried, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he did, just like for Elijah, the water opened for Elisha. Hear me tonight, while others are looking on, somebody has to go to work. There's something more precious than this gold and ophir that these ships were built to go after. There is souls. We've had some souls pray at this altar, but not near enough. Not near enough. There is something that we all must work at. And there'll never be a computer or any kind of electronic gimmick or machine that'll ever take the place of a personal witness. Mouth to mouth, one on one, to somebody about their soul. Oh, there is something we must work at. Harvest, right here, the harvest is ripe. It's already to harvest. We're just needing some workers that will go into the harvest. And if you won't work, there's a curse put upon you. When the children of Israel were fighting against the Midianites, Meros, whoever he was, or a tribe, whatever tribe it might have been, God put a curse on him. You can read it for yourself in your Bible in Judges 5:23. He said, "Curse ye, Meros." Oh, said the angel of the Lord, "Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof." Why? Because they came not to the help of the Lord. You don't want no curse put on you, do you? Then we've all got a job to do. I've been working a long time for God. and my days is about over, and my job is about finished. I'm going to try to do a little bit more. Sister Rich sings a song, if just one more soul will walk down the aisle. I'm going to try to do just a little bit more, try to win another soul. But listen to me, it's time that some of our young people and our young men and women went to work for God and started inviting people to church and help fill these empty pews. Yes, hear me. A good example is our pastor. He preaches here about 2 to 3 times a week. Then he goes out to Rob's Ranch. I've never been out there, but he's a good example for us. Do you teach out there about every day? He teaches from the Word of God. That's a good example. He's busy for the Lord. Boy, it's quiet in here. I'm not in here all by myself, Elma. Somebody's here, aren't you? Amen. Well, listen to me. You have to cut loose from the shoreline. Jehoshaphat left his ships tied up too long. But we've got to prepare ourselves. Oh, yes. Yes, there is a sad verse in 2 Timothy 4:10. Listen to this verse. Somebody that had been with the great missionary Paul, he had followed him all around, all over the country. Probably had a desire at one time in his own heart to be a missionary like Paul. But Paul sets down in 2 Timothy 4:10 and pens these sad, sad words. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Oh, what went wrong in Demas' life? Did he commit some crime and have to leave Rome? No. Did Demas allow some ugly sin of immorality to get in his life and rob him of his victory? We have no record of that if he did. Oh, did he steal money from the church coffers? If so, the Bible doesn't record it. But here's what Demas was guilty of. He fell in love with this present world. And that's something every one of us has got to guard. You can get so busy doing good things and right things, seemingly, and you leave God and His work out of the picture, or at least put Him secondary. How many knew God will not take second place? He demands first place in our lives. He demands that we give Him our hearts and that we love Him. Some child, some young boy up here quoted a scripture tonight that we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And it goes on to say we're to love our neighbor as ourself. We must understand that Demas was not guilty of any ugly crime, no ugly sin. Just this present world got a hold of him. You know, you can get so busy on your job, making a living for your family. And you should. Oh, yes. And you leave God clear out of the picture. You need to learn to get up every morning and bow your knees to pray. If you can't pray a long time, you can pray a short while. I was teaching in Kansas City, teaching our children that went to school, pray from 5 to 10 minutes. And an old brother there, he jumped up, why not teach them to pray an hour? His wife told off on him, said he don't pray an hour, Henry don't pray an hour himself. So anyhow, we must teach our children, oh, that the things of God come first. Some have never heard their mother and dad praying. Some have never heard their mother or dad get under a burden and weep before God in the living room somewhere, like I've been weeping some for my lost loved ones. Oh, listen to me. There's a world out there that's lost. Curse ye, Meros. Curse ye bitterly, the inhabitants thereof. Why? Because they came not to help, to the help of the Lord, to help of the Lord in the day of battle against the Midians. Listen to me. There is something more dangerous than just Falling in love with the world is falling out of love with Jesus. And whenever you lose your love for Christ, you lose your love for Him, you gain a love for the world. And the more ground the world gains in your heart and life, the less love and devotion you have for Jesus Christ. Now, I know I'm talking to you right. I'm having trouble with my hip right now. But I'm talking to you, and you can understand what I'm saying. It's right, isn't it? And we need to work, work, work. I know some of our people are missing tonight, and our regulars, but we need to bring souls to the house of the Lord. And Sister Rich and I have been discussing what could be done that would bring more people out to the church. Now, the preaching of the gospel is the only thing that has power of God, power to save. But we've got to get people here for them to hear the gospel. And some have been bringing a few, but we haven't had very many visitors, not very many, that's come. There is no telling how many souls could be won by this very congregation if we just cut loose and go into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to do that, to come in. And I don't want you to do like a couple fellas I had up in my church in Kansas City. I had a couple weightlifters saved. You know those guys that when they first come, they just wore t-shirts with us. They don't have much sleeve, had a sleeve cut out. And of course, I got to preaching the gospel, and they come to the altar and got saved. And they did pretty good for a while. And I preached one night about going into highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And they caught a guy in an elevator. I mean, these guys wasn't little guys. They're big. They caught a guy in an elevator. And they said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "No." This guy was telling me later. Just a few days after that, he did come to church. He said, "Your guys caught me in that elevator and asked me if I was a Christian. And I told them no." They said, "Do you want to be?" And he said, "No." They said, "Oh, yes, you do." He said, "You're going to kneel down when this elevator stops. You're going to pray and give your heart to Jesus." And I guess they made him. And then one night, we had a special visitor. They said, "You either come to church at 646 Ohio Street, where Brother Rich is pastor, or we're going to come after you." And we had a new guy at our church. Now, that's not what that scripture means. No, no. But our testimony ought to ring clear. Oh, yes, we believe in holiness dress. We believe our women ought to dress modestly and all of that. But let me tell you something. You can't get a dress long enough to win a soul. Somebody might appreciate it, and I do. And I think others do appreciate modest attire. But soul winning is done by somebody that knows the Lord. And I'm going to prove it to you. The Bible said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy." That tells me, Brother Moore, that something had a hold of us. Something had its clutch on us. The devil had us, some way he had a hold of us. And we couldn't break loose. How many could get loose from the enemy by yourself? Nobody. Nobody. But oh, that night that I heard that old-fashioned preacher preaching on the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was back in the days when they didn't spare you. I mean, they just cut it right down the line and preached just what you was doing, and you thought somebody told them some of the things you were doing. But when that old-fashioned preacher preached that message, he got a hold of my heart. And I made my way to the altar, and there I found the Lord. It was there that I cut loose from the shoreline and started sailing my ship. And I gave up my home, my beautiful home up on the mountain there in Grover City, California, overlooking the beautiful Pacific Ocean, where I could watch the ships go in and out from Avila Beach. I gave up that, And I gave up several things. But when I stop and look what the Lord gave for me, when I look at Calvary, when I look at the cross, I haven't made any sacrifice. I haven't given up nothing compared to what He did for me, Brother Moore, when He died on that cross. And I was reading about how they scourged the Lord. And you might want to read that, Brother Moore, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it says like a flaying. They whipped Him so much that His flesh hung from Him like this coat is hanging from me. They flayed Him out with them Roman soldiers. They beat Him until the Bible said His visage, that means His countenance, His body, was more marred than any other man. Brother Dustin, it says that they plowed deep furrows up and down His back. Who was He doing that for? Would you believe He's doing it for Don Rich? But He was also doing it for you too. Now you can be, if you're not living for Jesus, this would be a good night to surrender to the Lord. I was up at Leon Sunday night, and like I said, I had two sinners in the altar. One of them was an alcoholic, prayed about 45 minutes, but they still needed to be in the altar. And the other one was a Creek Indian, and he prayed real good, as I said, and wet the altar with tears. Leon's going to work with him, try to keep him coming, especially in the alcoholic. Probably somebody will contact them. But listen, this gospel still has power. And even if it's preached by an old man, that's so weak I can't really stand up here right now. Even if it's preached by somebody like that, it's the gospel that has power. Say, well, Brother Rich is not running and jumping and climbing like he used to. Oh, yeah, I used to climb a few pews, run and jump off the platform. But that never saved nobody. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that has the power to save. May God bless you tonight. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Brother Moore, thank you for the opportunity. And thank you for that long notice. I left at 7 and you called me at 6:30. Hallelujah. Thank you for that long notice. But old Jehoshaphat, he was a loser because he never did go and get that gold at Ophir. But there's something more precious than gold. The experiences you can get here at the altar. How many saved and you know you're saved? All right, how many sanctified and you know you're sanctified? That's deeper experience. How many has the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Well, every one of you that cannot lift your hand, you need to get in and get it. Oh, yes. You need to dig in and pray until you get filled with power. For ye shall receive power when? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It is a wonderful experience. It's not just to speak in tongues. Oh, no, if that was all there was to it, there wouldn't be much to it. But it's power. Power to stand when everybody else is around you is falling. Power to sing in the midnight hour. Oh, power to keep the victory when other people are sinning all around you. And you can say no to sin. The Holy Ghost gives you power. I'm going to ask everyone that will to come up around the altars and let's seek the Lord tonight. Brother Steve, if you want to carry this further, you can. Would you come up around the altars, everyone that will, and let's seek the face of God. Amen. And those of you that feel like you're tied up too short, you probably need to cut loose and break on out there in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, blessed, blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. Father, in your holy name, I come to you, Lord. Oh, I'm asking you to help us. God, open our hearts to the things of the Spirit. Lord, give me power in my own life. Help me to do what you do. Lord, help our church to realize
That we cannot be one of those ships that never sail. We've got to sail on now. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Minister, help us, we pray. Oh, God, we don't want a curse put on us. But we want to come to the help of the Lord in the day of battle. Lord, never have we had to fight as hard as we're fighting now. Lord, just to keep the victory. The Lord, through Christ Jesus, and through His own cleansing power, we can overcome. Lord, I'm asking You now, Jesus, to bless every member of this congregation. Lord, all of our young preachers, all of our ministers, Lord. Oh, help them to go forth and do something for Him. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, that place called hell is still there, but also in that place called heaven. Lord, there's still a reward for the faithful. There's still a reward for the true. Lord, draw us to You in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord. That's Brother Thompson tonight, Lord, and Jesus. Oh, touch me, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, God, I don't want to be one of those ships that never sail. I want to sail on out. I want to keep on sailing as long as You allow me to do so. I want to win so far, O God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I can be the mercy of God tonight. I need to bless our pastor, Lord, for our dear Jesus. God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. Oh, God, thank You for redeeming me out of the hand of the Lord. Have Your way, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I praise you, Lord, and I magnify your name. I glorify your name, your Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Wonderful, Jesus.
Giving me your attention. I wish I could have done better.